Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Mess with MS. I'm your host, Lisa Dreyer, Brain Injury Radio's Mess with MS since 2015, or maybe a little bit before that. Brain Injury Radio is committed to spreading brain injury awareness, and that's really wonderful, especially this month, because March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. It's also MS Awareness Month. Tonight, I have Amanda Lynn as a guest on my show. She is a woman who's committed to spreading MS awareness, and I'm very excited about the show tonight. Amanda is a thriver with MS, and she is like me in that she's a teacher, and now she teaches others about MS. Before we begin, I'd like to say that no one's a personal opinion, case history, symptomology, or story as shared by myself, my guests, or my callers will apply to yourself, the listener, as an individual. While I have some exciting guests, some even with medical expertise, they are not familiar with your conditions. So while my show may be educational, entertaining, and informative, please consult your medical caregiver before making changes that may adversely affect your life. You guys can call in at 424-243-9420, and you can connect with us online through the chat at blogtalkradio.com/braininjuryradio. At least I think that's how you would do that, but definitely go to Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to thank Amanda Lynn so much for being here and sharing her story. If my voice sometimes goes out like that, just know that every March I celebrate MS Awareness Month by having a little exacerbation, and that's why that's happening to me. Hi, Amanda. Please introduce yourself and tell everyone how old you are and where you're currently located.
Hi.
Sorry.
Yes. Go ahead.
I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I was just, when you said my name, I was just saying hi, and you were just going to keep on going. I was letting you do that.
So just tell everyone how old you are and where you're located.
Well, I live in Yukon, Oklahoma, which is the west side, OKC, off of Highway or Interstate 40. And I am 42 years old, and I was diagnosed in 2019 after an accident at my previous school in a whole different state that came up with some, you know, those MRIs that get questionable. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got all the treatment, and we went and said a neurologist had to come in and see me at that time. So it was a bittersweet moment of being diagnosed because it answered a lot of questions, which I thought at the time I was finishing school, I was being a mom, and I had, you know, two jobs. So I thought I was just tired, you know, from all that.
Yeah. So first of all, let me tell you, I did not think you were 42 at all. I thought you were a baby. You and I are the same age. I thought you were a baby.
Oh,
people tell me I look young, but I thought you were in your 20s.
I appreciate
you get that all the time?
Yes, ma'am. I get it on the phone. Even if I answer my door, they'll like, is your mom here? I am the mom. But that's good. That means I hope in 20 years I could look like I'm 40 then. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you look very young.
Thank you.
That's a blessing.
yes.
So. And I've been through Oklahoma, and I love Oklahoma, but I don't know if I've been where you're from. So you said you had an accident. Were you in a car accident?
So I was tackled down by a student, and I had a head injury. So when they did my CAT scans, I wasn't aware for a while. So I went in the hospital and they ran all the tests that needed to be done. And when I woke up, they explained to me that there's questions of the MRIs that they had to do more testing. So I immediately went on workman's comp. That was a whole issue in itself because that's an experience I would not want anybody to go on because of that, I lost everything. And it was a struggling 2 years, I can tell you, before my lawsuit, I settled, and then that was right before COVID, literally right before COVID. And then that's when I came back to Oklahoma. It was from that moment, the neurologist ordered my spinal tap, and I went in for the spinal tap, and it tested positive based on that result.
Now, were you working with kids who were younger, or did you work with kids who had intellectual disabilities or mental difficulties? I'm asking because I was a teacher as well, and I also have maintained head injuries because I was a teacher. So I kind of understand how that could happen.
I was for special education at that time. I was in that department, and I was a one-on-one, and that student was a student that would run away at times, and she knocked me over when she did that.
You had a runner.
Yeah, I had a runner, and I was told by my leadership that I had to stand ground and not, keep her from running. And at that time, she knocked me over. There was nothing I could do. And I even told my leadership the week prior that is not safe. There has to be something else we could do because that's not right that I was put into a position like that. And I told them something's going to happen if either she's going to get hurt or I was going to get hurt, and I'm the one that got hurt. And immediately after that, I was on workman's comp. I had therapy. I had so many doctor's appointments. I couldn't afford my apartment. I lost my apartment. I lost everything at that time. So
I'm so sorry.
That was a struggle.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm so sorry. And sometimes people don't quite understand how difficult it can be for teachers. And let me tell you, that I, when I was going through everything that I went through with my MS story, and when I was not diagnosed yet, with my last teaching job, I lost my health insurance, and it led me on a very long road of not having health insurance for about 10 or 15 years. The last health insurance I had was with before I got Social Security, was with, well, not Social Security through AIDS, but thankfully with disability was for being a teacher. So, but yeah. I just lost it for my work.
Right. It's my ultimate fear. I just told my mom the other day that I feel like I might have to go that route, but I need to have $100,000 saved up because you can't work when you try to go the disability route. And I don't have anybody to support me. So I would lose everything again if my diagnosis gets worse in an instant. Right now, I have a lot of insurances. I have my disability insurance. I have it all through the, it's not MetLife, it's not American Fidelity. So I made sure I pay for all these extra insurances if something happens to me. And one of them is a disability one. So if I am going through disability, they will pay me a little bit a month off my policy for as long as it is until my SSID would come through. But even that, it's not enough. It's not enough. So I told my mom, I have to start saving at least $100,000, and maybe in 10 years, if my body does give up away more that I can't teach anymore, I have to live off that until I get approved.
Yeah, it's frightening, and I completely understand what you're going through. Before we touch more on this, I want to ask you, so what was your life like pre-diagnosis?
Oh, I was busy. A mom who my ex-husband had left me, and I was a single mom with four children, and I was in nursing school. At that time, I was in Georgia State, and I had to let go of me getting my BSN and just work with my associates. And I was in a hospital down there, and I was working, and then I realized I couldn't handle the schooling, the working, the kids, everything that was going on. So I switched career fields and went teaching and then got my degree. I finished it right before my accident in 2018, and then I took a break because I had to get my master's, and I went for my master's in my secondary education, which during COVID, when I came back to Oklahoma, I finished that during that year, 2020. So I took advantage of us not doing much during COVID, I guess you could say.
And a lot of people say that.
Yeah. And before I was very active. Very active. I took my kids to sports activities. I swam with them. We went to Six Flags, which I still do Six Flags today, but I have to do it moderately. Like, I can't ride all the rides. I have to take breaks. I took a scooter to walk around more, but now since I got the A-linker, my goal is now to bring the A-linker, and I'm going to be using my A-linker more. So, because I need to be more active. There's things that I used to do, play softball. I can't do that anymore. I can barely run. So even going for a 3K mile run, I can't do that, which now I'm hoping I can with the A-linker.
Yeah. Can you so when you were diagnosed with MS, were you hospitalized?
I was in the hospital, yes.
Because
I couldn't feel. I couldn't really move my legs, and they didn't understand why at that time. I had to go through physical therapy. It took me a good few weeks for me to get up and get moving. Because of my hospitalization and being diagnosed, I had to go bankruptcy. That's my first time ever going bankruptcy, filing bankruptcy, because of all my medical bills. It was bad. It was awful.
So they diagnosed you correctly at first, correct?
Yes.
Your doctors, obviously. And have you been diagnosed with anything other than MS?
So Yes, I had before I was diagnosed with MS, which now I know it can be part of having multiple sclerosis. I have a kidney disease, and that kidney disease is known as a sponge kidney. So they say you can have problems with MS even causing that for you to have that kind of disease as well. But I did not know that until after I was diagnosed with MS.
I have never heard of it before, so you're teaching me something right now. I know that MS can cause major kidney issues, but I have never heard of that in and of itself. Did you always know that you had the sponge kidney disease, or did you find that out after your MS diagnosis?
So I got diagnosed with... It's the abbreviation for it is medullary kidney disease. MKD is the abbreviation for it. And I've always had kidney stones. I get kidney stones by certain foods growing up. And I was trying to get into the military, and that was another thing before, like when my ex-husband decided to leave, I was trying to do Army Guard. And during that process, I had went in for an X-ray or an MRI, and they said I had like 25 kidney stones. And they asked me, were you ever diagnosed with something? And I was like, no, I've never been diagnosed. I've always had kidney stones growing up, but nothing this bad. And they asked, well, what's your pain level? I was like, well, my pain level is a 3 or 4, but it's what I'm used to. So I went through that process, and I couldn't fully go into the National Guard because I had that complication of being medical, and a kidney doctor, when I saw it's like a urinary type doctor, he's the one that diagnosed me with that and said, oh, yeah, this is from these kind of foods. We just need to make sure it's correct. So they, you know, did the urine samples and all that and told me I have to watch eating high oxalate type foods. And on top of that, I had to eliminate almonds because I was drinking almond milk at that time to help lose my weight. I was like 145 pounds. I passed my weight. I passed the physical part for the National Guard, but because of my medical, I couldn't finish my process because my goal was to be an officer and have them finish the rest of paying for my education, but that didn't go through because of having kidney disease. So, but it was them that caught that first, and that was 4 years prior of me being diagnosed with MS. That was 2015. Because 2019 is when I got diagnosed with MS. And that's when I found out, oh, well, your kidney issues is tied up with MS. But because we didn't know about my lesions up in my brain and my spinal, we had no idea.
So. Yeah. 25 kidney stones does not sound like a lot of kidney stones because I have kidney stones, and it seems like I have many more than that.
Those who make kidney stones, they're up, like mine were all in the upper pole of your kidney, and I did not know that either. When they was like, well, that doesn't hurt. I'm like, no, the only time it hurts is when they fall and when they're going through the tube. That's when I need to go in for the surgeries and all those lithotripsies that they do for you. But at that time, I was like, I'm running. I passed the physical. I made my weight. I made the tape, too. So I was like, this is normal. But the foods I was eating was not good for my body. Even though it's healthy food, my body can't digest it properly, like those almonds. So, no more almond milk. So I switched to oatmeal milk or coconut milk. And the last surgery I had with my kidney was 2021. And I, knock on wood, I haven't had any other issues since then, since I've been strictly on coconut milk.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yes.
So what type of MS do you have?
So I have right now I'm in relapse because of my mobility. I rested today. So usually at this time at night, I'm not as able to communicate as well. Because at this time on a normal work day, like tomorrow, when I get home by 7, I'm wiped. I'm tired. I don't do much. I can take a hot shower, take a bath. I wind down. I take my medicine. And I'm in bed by 9.
Yeah. Has there been a break or a remission between your symptoms? And, like, have you had, breaks and remissions between your symptoms? And are you able to see, like, a relapse and remission between your symptoms?
See, that I never understand it, because with my RMS, it's because of when I exert my body a lot, which I have to for my job, the symptoms flare up at night. So
okay.
My neurologist, that's why he said you ever have RMS, because you don't really get a break. If you exert yourself too much, I'm down. I'm literally, like, if I go and I go spend a day with my family out at a park or we go to an amusement park. This past week I was moving stuff with my parents, and then we finally cleared out of my old house. The next day, I'm resting all day. Like, I was on a heating pad. I took my pain medicine. I had to rest. I took a nap that even afternoon. It was like a 4-hour nap for me to function at night.
That's understandable, though. A lot, you know, night times are difficult for a lot of people with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
So depression is a common symptom for people who have multiple sclerosis, and we don't produce the right chemicals anymore. So were you generally a pretty happy person before you were diagnosed, and are you still a pretty happy person now?
I try to be happy. I take amitriptyline at night, which helps with the depression, the tingliness when I wake up in the morning. That medicine is great, and it helps. I found out that when I was diagnosed with PTSD, the medicine that I was taking with that, the Lexapro, I believe is what it was.
Lexapro, yeah.
Yeah, that one. My medicine for amitriptyline wasn't as effective, I noticed. So I quit taking that other medicine and then kept on my amitriptyline, and just every day, like a 15-minute session, I close my eyes. I do this during my planning period when I'm working. I close my door. My lights are off. Sometimes I'll play, like, the waves on my phone, because I love listening to ocean so much, and the seagulls. That's one of my happy places. And I do that as like a meditation, a breathing. And that's what I have to do to kind of try to stay happy at school, because I can tell you that I guess I have moments where the kids have said that I have been a little too mean. So I've had to, like, recheck myself and, you know, you evaluate yourself and, like, okay, yeah, like, oh, I can't say that, or I don't do that. Take a pause. And I've been saying more with the students, hang on a second, hold on, because you know how kids can be. And I teach high school and I teach freshmen, and they're still learning of how to be polite, and you can't always interrupt when the teacher's with another student. And I have to take a moment and say, hang on, hang on. I'm busy. Do you see? And they'll say, oh, okay. And then I have to go back, and sometimes I have to jot or write down a note, because I'll even forget. Even in that split second, I will forget that I have to go to them and help them with what their question is. And so I have to keep those sticky pads by me all the time because of that. But if I don't do those 15 minutes, I probably do seem like an angry teacher, and I don't want to be like that. So I do that as much as I can. I now realize I've how to manage my classroom a little bit better, as when if I feel like if it's a bad day with my MS, I have learned, okay, guys, we are going to talk this assignment together. We're going to do it together. And I have I have great participation with the students. When I put it up on the board and we're talking it out loud, they will answer the questions. Like, they'll read it and they will answer it. And I have several in each of my classes that do that. And because I've been open with my students about my MS, they have really, like, step up and say, we got you. We got you, Ms. Fisher. We got you. I was like,
That's wonderful.
Love it.
What subject do you teach?
A physical science. I am a science teacher.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Oh, I love it. That's great. Did you feel pretty healthy before your diagnosis? Than your kidney stones. Yeah. So there wasn't really a warning.
No warning except feeling tired. Feeling tired in the afternoon. I was always tired for some reason. And I was, drinking those energy shakes. I was doing the protein bottle.
Oh, me too.
And I was still tired.
Coffee and energy shakes, yeah. I don't drink energy shakes anymore. But
I don't either.
Coffee,
I don't do that anymore. But back then, almost 10 years ago, running with my unit, we would go out at 6 in the morning. I'd meet up with them, and we had to do our run, our 3-mile run. Sometimes it was 5 miles. But I did my time. Like, I got my 3 miles in under 18 minutes. So, like I said, I was active. I just can't do that no more.
I used to run too, and I had to stop running because it hurt my feet so badly. My feet hurt so badly, and it made me so upset when I had to stop running. But you know what? Like, I knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong all the way back in college. So I understand. Did you know anything about MS when you were diagnosed?
No. So here's the thing. I have only known one person in my life, and it was his wife that I used to play video games with, that was diagnosed with MS. And he was her caretaker. They end up selling their home and losing everything because of her diagnosis. And she was in a wheelchair. So they end up going into an RV. He had a truck. They bought an RV, and that's how they were living. Sadly, he passed away soon after she passed away. They're no longer here. And when I got diagnosed, I didn't have them there. When the doctor told me I had it, I literally cried. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? How do I handle this? So, and that neurologist, he's retired now, but he gave me books. He put me in a support group. He's like, you take as long as you need. I'm going to still write this off for your workman's comp date. You need time to adjust, to understand what you're going to have to face every day. I don't think I would have ever made it as far as I did if I did not have that kind of support from that first support group, from that Shepherd Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia.
What a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a blessing. What symptoms did you have when you were diagnosed? Do you remember?
I had tinglingness. Yes, I had tingliness. I had the brain fog. My communication wasn't as clear. I was tired, that fatigue. And the tingliness, I'm saying it was all day. It was like on one side of my body. I still have it today, but because of my medicine, it's helping. So I don't feel it as much. But back then, I felt it a lot. I did notice right before, because I was running. I was an avid runner, especially with my Army unit. But it was like that last year, I noticed my times were being off. Like, they kept pushing me. They kept saying, well, you're not going to make your time. If you don't stick to this, you've got to do this. I did notice some of my mobility was changing. I just didn't know why at that time. Now I know why. I know why after the diagnosis, because I couldn't push my body anymore because it hurt too much.
Yeah. And it's also the stress you're putting on your body, right?
Yes. I didn't know anything about that until that neurologist explained to me that stress is a trigger.
So, and it's body stress, too. It's not just like brain stress, but you're putting stress on your body. So there's all different kinds of stress, right?
He went through all that. He said physical, emotional, those are the two biggest ones that we have to watch out, as with the MS, because those are a big trigger. Because we want to keep being superhumans, but this disease tells you, you can't. You got to take a chill pill.
Yeah, and there's positive stress. There's negative stress.
Yep.
There's, you know, people don't think about positive stress a lot of times. A little bit of positive stress is good, but then you could be putting a ton of positive stress on yourself, and that's not good.
Right.
So, you know, there's all kinds of things that we need to think about. So have your symptoms changed since diagnosis? Do you still have all of those symptoms, or have they changed? Have some of those symptoms gone away?
No, none of it has gone away. My mobility, like I said, it has changed. It has degressed. It has not improved. I have, like I said, if I do too much, I'm out the next day for sure. There's no way around that, and I know that. I also know if I get too tired, especially if I had functions at night, I will tell people, I'm sorry, I can't go, I'm too tired. I know I'm going to have problems looking and driving and focusing. That paying attention, the focusing, and your eyes, my eyes have changed. I did not wear glasses as much. Now I have to wear them all the time because the vision, the words will blur and it'll just happen just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like I can't read that. I don't know why, but I can't read it. It's blurry. So
do you use drugstore glasses or do you wear a prescription? Cause I do both.
I have prescription. Yeah. I never went to the drugstore and tried that. My mom mentioned that and I was like, Mom, I'm just going to go to the optometrist and just knock it off. Like, they do the whole, they'll check your eye out and all that. So I do have a spot on my last eye exam that we have to watch, but that has the concerning. It's the area where you can go blind. So I do keep up with my regular appointments with that because I'm afraid that that's just going to happen one day.
Yeah. Well, it might be oh, my gosh. Now I'm blanking. It might be caused by MS. If I could remember the exact name for it, macular degeneration. It might be macular degeneration. Yeah. And that is something that falls under an MS category. But everyone can get that as well. But so that is something that it's good for your optometrist to look into. But for those out there who do not have MS, you should go see an optometrist because macular degeneration can happen to you as well.
Yep. So that's what they told me. As we age, things change.
Yeah, exactly. How has MS changed your life?
I am much slower. I'm no longer a speedy rabbit. I'm the toad. I'm the turtle. So it takes me longer to get dressed, get going, doing even my job. When I have to come up with activities and quizzes, I'm very particular. I want to make sure it's correct. I do it correctly, and I know that if what I'm going to give you is something I know as well, so I want to make sure I did it too. It takes me a couple hours just to do that.
Yeah.
I just had a colleague a couple weeks ago. He didn't understand. He's like, why does that take you a couple hours? And I had explained to him, I have a disability that it just takes longer for me to comprehend sometimes. And I want to make sure it's correct.
But you said, when I do it really well, though. So.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I told him, exactly that. And I just like, oh, great. So now I have that stigma on me that I'm slow and it takes me forever to do stuff.
No, it's not. But you know that when you do it right. Mm-hmm. So
right.
You should just don't ever let someone make you feel bad about yourself because of your MS. Just know that you are not disabled. You're abled, and you're doing something. You do it just as well as everyone else. You just have MS and you're doing
it differently. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So practically, has it changed your life by how you get around to do everyday things?
Yes. I've had a handicap placard for 2 years because one time I had to park in the back of the parking lot and I fainted in the middle of the road. That's when I cracked my tooth, one of my back teeth. Had to get a crown because of it. That changed my life right there, like in an instant. And it was on a hot day. And that's when I realized my body does not do well when it's very hot. I wasn't wearing anything like nowadays. I have a cooling vest. I even put little wet towels around my neck. I have a fan with me. But when I am overly hot, like I was that day, I faint. I pass out. And that's what happened. It was like 110 that day when that happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And me,
you have
being a strong person.
Sensitive?
Do I have a cold sensitive too? I do. I can't handle 0-degree weather. I can be okay in 20 degrees. But it's
let me
it
tell you, most people cannot
below.
Handle 0 degrees. Most people cannot handle 0 degree weather.
I had to bundle up a lot for those 20-degree weather. I'll tell you that. I wear like three pairs of pants.
Yeah. I live in Ohio, so like let me tell you.
It gets cold. I visit Massachusetts around Christmas 2022, and they had a snow day right at Christmas, and it was like 1 degree, and the next day it was below 10. Yeah, those were very, very cold days for me.
Yeah. So what adaptive devices have you used?
So I have a scooter.
Okay.
And the scooter that I have, it's like one at a grocery store. You just get in, you sit, and it motorizes. So mine's like one of the ones you can get off Amazon. It has three wheels, It has a basket. And then you can go, like, turtle slow, rabbits fast. It can go up to, like, 25 miles per hour. Pretty quick. So I use I use that around my campus because we have about 2,500 students and about 500, 600 of them are just freshmen. So, but for me to go from the science building up to the main building, it's a decent walk. So I started bringing my scooter. I did use a walking stick, a.k.a. the cane. I just don't like calling it that, so it's my walking stick. Some of my photos, you see it. That was like when we were walking, like this past New Year's, we were in Dallas for New Year's Eve, and I did a lot of walking. That would catch me in those moments when my body just, the message from my brain to get to my legs, and I drop. Like, it's really hard to explain it unless you experience it, but mm-hmm. in that split second, you catch yourself. Like, oh. It's always like that. So that walking stick would help me on those moments when my body didn't get the message fully.
Yeah.
And then now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be using
you
that.
Your anchor.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
tell me about the process you went to campaign for the Ankler.
So you go online, you got to go to their webpage, you got to go to the bottom, and you submit a campaign. And you put your information, everything about it. It took me a good 45 minutes to fill it out. Everything about you, why you need a device, if you've been diagnosed with anything, when did you get diagnosed, and just all the questions. And then it gets submitted, and I didn't hear back until early March, February, March. I'm going to say I think it was February because I think I had February 3rd because it was literally within a week. It went so fast. She contacted me, and which is the manager for the company A-Linker, and the manager that handles the campaigns, and she's like, okay, we have been approved. I need you to finish your story, fill it online, let me see it, and then we're going to do an interview process on Instagram. And that all happened within a couple of days. And then we had the interview on Sunday, and there was a couple other participants that had campaigns, and she had our websites live on that day. I was the last one to get mine funded from the group. I think there was three of us. The others got theirs pretty quick. Mine ended up taking about 27 days to raise the funds. And you have to be like, the goal is to post something, to get it out there. Let the community know. Let your family and friends know. And then they will encourage you, the manager said, okay, I need you to post something. You didn't post something yesterday. Make sure you tag this with, you know, the community, the A-Linker community. I did have a big donation from the A-Linker community to help me with it. So that's how I was able to get it. And it was thanks to them that $1,000 donation towards it
wow.
is what helped me get. Yeah. So I'm very
blessed.
I'm thankful for that community, and I hope one day to be able to be one of those that could pay it forward to another participant in the future.
Well, do you know the site for the A-Linker project so that we can give them a shout out here? Or actually, maybe I could pull it up right now. Let me see.
Well, the Instagram shout out, I believe, was the _ A-Linker. I'm double checking it. Yep. THE_ A-Linker_world.
Okay.
That is where all the campaigns be listed, all the information. They repost. That's what the manager handles, that site. And then the campaign to apply would be thealinker.com.
Okay, so everyone, if you hear this right now and you are interested in getting an A-linker, or if you are interested in being a guardian angel and helping with a campaign, you can go to that site and start someone's A-linker journey right now. And I think that would be really wonderful. So I feel unfortunate that we weren't able to help you with yours, but I feel fortunate that we're able to tell more people about the A-linker right now. Can you tell us, like so if the A-linker is actually something like a bike, so if people have never ridden a bike before, will they have success with the A-linker as a device for them,
well,
for themselves?
It's a walking bike, so you're still using your legs. But at times, if you need to rest a leg, your wheels will help move a little bit more, so you may only have to pedal a little bit, like with your legs, per se.
Okay.
They got videos on the website, the alinker.com website, that shows of, you know, how other people use the A-linker, and they even had exercising videos. It is something to, because of the seats, it's positioned specifically to keep you upright. So it's not like a regular bike seat, should say, because it's tilted just a little bit. Because of your pelvis. You got to keep your pelvis up.
Okay. See, this could be a silly thing. I never actually rode a bike in my life. and it probably is because I have a brain injury. I had a brain injury from birth. And so riding a bike was something that always was kind of scary for me. And because when I turn my head to the left, I can't see anything for like a split second. And I also don't drive a car because of that. So, I don't ride a bike. I don't drive a car. I don't do several things. I can ride horses though, for some strange reason. Probably because a horse is able to look around and see things.
Right.
But yeah, so I just wanted to ask you about that. But yeah, now that you've told me more about it, I feel more comfortable actually. If that sounds neat.
So where are you in? Where do you live?
My permanent resident is in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. And right now I am in Tucson, Arizona. But yeah, my permanent residence is in Ohio.
If you come back up this way, because you have to kind of go through Oklahoma to get back home.
You do.
Then send me a message and I will have you come over to my house and you can try out my bike, the walking bike.
Thank you.
That way, if it's something that you would want.
That would be wonderful. I would love that. Thank you so much. So you were telling us that you do have some cognitive issues. What are your cognitive challenges?
Oh wow, this is gonna get really embarrassing.
Oh no, don't. I'll tell you mine too.
So, I do notice I have not drank as much water as I used to, especially when I'm at school, because
I can't get to the bathroom fast enough. And then I could have an accident because I can't hold it. And that's for, it's not just a kidney thing. The neurologist says this is normal. So I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah.
This is all new to me. I do notice that I have to wear like feminine pads a little bit more, especially if I'm going to go to a party and I know I'm going to be laughing a lot. If for some reason your kidney doesn't always release everything, so you can always get a little bit, and I just don't like to leave a mess or have a mess or deal with the mess if I'm going to be out at a party among friends and all that, because if I get a good belly laugh, yeah, there's no way to hold that.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. No. Like, those, and don't be embarrassed. Like, that is, I just had a show where we talked about this, like, for a very long time. This exact thing.
I heard that. That's when I realized, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm not the only one.
No, you are not the only one. And there was one teaching job I had where I was the assistant teacher, and I had to leave the classroom. And I think I was one of the third teachers there, and I had to get permission to leave. And still, because I had to leave, I was still reprimanded because I left.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was transferred to another school because I left to use the restroom. So,
wow.
So
I'm afraid of, because I have to make sure somebody's in my classroom before I can go leave as well. And most of the time, I don't even have the special education teacher with me. I'm no longer in SPED because of the accident I had years ago. So I wanted to stay Gen Ed, general education, because I felt like I could handle that and the kids can understand when I say, hey, knock it off. I can't deal with that. Normally they do when I tell them that. They're like, that's just too much right now. So, but now what I'm facing is there's not enough people wanting to be a SPED teacher, and we don't have an inclusion SPED science teacher. So all the science teachers have to have a co-taught, which we lost our co-taught earlier in the year, which made it even more of a struggle for us. So, yeah, and that's just a little bit of what's going on in the education world and what we have to deal with. And I can't just leave sometimes, which I would be reprimanded if I did, and be written up and all that. So, yeah, that's the reason why I don't drink as much water when I'm at school either, for that reason.
Well, yeah, and when I first started teaching, I used to bring a gallon of water with me to school and drink it on site, which would now kill me. I drink 3 gallons of water a day. Oh, my goodness. I could not do that. So, yeah.
No,
nope.
I can't either. Especially my schedule right now is my first 5 hours of school I'm teaching. I do not get a break until close to 1 o'clock. So from I get to school at 7:15. I try to use the bathroom between 7:15 and 7:40 before I'm busy all the way to 1. So,
yeah.
And
I work
that
with
moment,
the littles.
I have, and I'm high school. But these kids, I mean, these freshmen today, bless their hearts, they still come in and wanting to hurt. Like, I kid you not, I had a student scratch another student on the back of a neck this year. Freshman.
Yeah, I worked with the littles, and they I had to be in my classroom at 5, and I wasn't home by, I mean, it was like 5 to 5.
Yeah, I don't get home till late because I'm usually doing, I decided to do detention after school, and this allowed other students to come see me on 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays when I do it, because if I'm already hosting a detention after school for everybody whoever got caught in the hallways as part of the punishment they have to do after school detention, I decided, okay, if science kids need help, they can come see me at that time too. So I've opened the doors because I said, that's my study hall time for detention. But if you guys come in to see me for extra help, I have a little table that we all get together at. So, and that's been working, but I still don't get home until like 7 because of that.
Yeah. Can you give any tips for people who live with MS and might be listening tonight?
The tips I would say is I have relied on my parents a lot, especially in the early time of my diagnosis. Support groups was very beneficial. Finding something you still love to do may have to moderate, you know, you have to like improvise just a little bit. I still walk 5,000 steps every day. And I wanted to stay active, and that was the way for me to stay active and to try to say, hey, I'm doing something, Doc. I'm still trying to stay healthy. I'm still doing it. And having that peace of saying, you know, I can do this. I can handle it with what's going on. Now, I was at early stages, so I still have my mobility. And even today, with the digression a little bit, I'm still using these apparatuses to help me. Do not be afraid to use the apparatus. If it helps, use it.
People won't judge you. And if they do, that's on them. It's not on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what my mom said many times. So, and people ask, she has walked with a cane because she's got bad knees. She's had surgeries and stuff. And I don't look old, so we always get questions like, you both are walking with canes? And they'll ask me, well, what happened to you? And my mom has chimed in sometimes. She'll say, well, she has MS. It's a total ball game versus just me having surgeries and having issues like with my knees. Hers is the whole body. And they're like, oh, and then that's if they don't know what MS is, they'll be like, what's MS? And then it becomes a conversation, which is fine. I've learned to be more open about my disability.
Which is great because then you're teaching people, and I mean, you have a PhD in education. So,
I'm getting it. I'm in the process.
Yes. Well,
yes,
that's
I'm a master.
I mean, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, and I mean, you're my hero. That is amazing to me. And I value education so highly. Well, I value education so highly, and I think that it's amazing that you're getting your PhD in education.
Well, who knows? Maybe one day you'll see me up at the Department of Education because that's what I'd like to go.
I would love to. I always wanted to get my college degree, and I was going to UCLA, and unfortunately, I had to leave school because I
the brain
was, because my brain just, I got so sick when I was there. And I went back to school to get my educational degree. But I mean, like, I do not have a complete, you know, diploma or degree from any institution. I mean, I have AAs from different schools. But I never.
With all the credit unions you have, you probably do have something, but a counselor has to get all your credits together.
All my credits together, yeah. But I mean, like, I never got to walk anywhere or do that, which is unfortunate. I mean, So,
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, I did have a wonderful couple of years at UCLA and a couple of years at other places. So,
until I settled with Grand Canyon University. So, understand.
So, you like Grand Canyon University?
Oh, I love them. The counselors I've had, they have helped me through the process when I needed my break, which I'm on a break right now, you know, sending the paperwork and all that. It's been great for even taking medical leave. So I love the partnership I have with GCU because of that.
Yeah, I've actually thought about going there myself. So it's good to hear good, positive things about them. So I'm very glad
to
hear that.
I have to send you a video of a woman who graduated, I think, 2 years ago with her PhD as well. She has MS, and she found out in the process of going to school.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I will send you that video. I had gotten one of through my TED Talks at that time when I had just started my PhD program, and she had just graduated, and she was encouraging us, and I just was like, wow, this is perfect. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, that is, wow, that's an amazing story. I'm so glad we talked about that. So other than how MS has taken away from your life, can you acknowledge how MS has brought good things into your life? List three things that MS has brought into your life.
So even though I've said that I've had to slow down because of MS, I'm saying this is a good thing because I can stop and smell the roses. I can take in the moments a little bit more because of the disability. If I have to slow down, I feel like it's okay. Take a rest. Look around. Enjoy the little fresh air. And out here in Oklahoma, it's windy. So we usually have a lot of wind. Like tonight, I'm standing outside, and I was just looking up, and it was like, yes, it's cloudy, but the wind feels so good right now. Like, people are saying it's cold. To me, it's not cold because I run hot. And it was perfect tonight. So it's those type of moments that I get to enjoy when I have to slow down. So number one, just slowing down and smelling the roses. Two, I think I've grown closer to my family, especially my mom. Things I've had to talk to her about and learn that I didn't think I'd have to learn at my age. Maybe I thought, well, this is something I would have learned later on in life, but I just think my connection with my mom has grown because of
That's
my
wonderful.
Disability. Yeah, to be able to talk to her about it and hear what she goes through with her surgery with her knees and how it affects her, it's helped me. So our connection, our relationship has gotten so much better because of it. I'm going to say relationship. And lastly, my education disability. I am not as quick to judge like I was in the past. And I don't mean it as like in a bad way. You know, you could have empathy for others and understand their situation. But I tend to see like, because I know most times of what they're going through, I can relate more than how I used to. So because of the knowledge, that's what I'm going to call it, the knowledge about disabilities is giving me a more of a connection with people with disabilities.
I've found that too. I have found that as well. And it really does. It broadens your mind. It broadens your mind in a lot of different ways.
Invisibility.
And makes you more empathetic.
Yep.
It does.
The understanding about invisible disabilities or diseases, I've I've grown a lot of knowledge because of MS, and I didn't even think about a lot of the stuff even when I was in SPED, as being a SPED teacher. I just, things that I have learned in the past 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah. Have you handled your grief about the loss of your old life in a positive way?
You know, you are actually the fourth person to ask me that. I never really thought about that. Really, I just a few weeks ago, another support group that I just happened to walk into, and it was with autoimmune diseases. And they were talking about that, having some kind of grief or a process to get over your old life. And I sat back and I thought about it, and I'm like, I really didn't have a chance, because it was the moment I woke up, it was, okay, let's get this spinal tap, let's get it going, and then I had physical therapy 3 days a week. How do I get there when I wasn't driving? Once I was released, so I had to learn how to use the train and maneuver that way. It was challenges. I didn't have a moment. I did not have a moment, and that's what I told him. It was so busy for me in the beginning. And then now, like this past couple years, I've had, I mean, despite just working as a teacher, but I've been having more time to sit and think, wow, I really do kind of miss my old life, but I didn't grieve about it. Like, I probably should have, like one lady said that she had a before and after party because she was an athlete. She was, you know, going for volleyball as an Olympian, and it changed her life after that. So she had a before and after, she said. I never even thought about that. I was like, because they're talking about, like, we should do something like that so we can kind of say goodbye to our old and embrace the now.
The new.
What's, you know, the new us. So, and I think that's very empowering, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the new you is wonderful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with who you are now, you know, and I don't think there's wrong with anyone's new you. I just think there's something positive about grieving whatever it is, because I mean, we need to say goodbye, right? I mean,
and that's what she said, and I think that was her way of saying goodbye to her old self and loving her new self. And I never thought of it like that.
I totally agree, and I think we all should do that. Have you ever tried non-traditional therapies like meditation or yoga or biofeedback or any of that?
So I do yoga. That's my first 10-15 minutes of every day of my life. Even if I feel like my legs can't hold me, I'm stretching. I sit up in my bed and I touch my toes, and I have to do that 10 times. And I bring my knees up so that I can try to get circulation going. And then once I can get up on the floor, then I can do a little bit more, a few more yoga positions that I can do on my floor. This is one reason why I do not have carpet in my home. No more carpet. Because I needed flat surfaces. I seem to not trip as much like I was on the carpet, to be honest.
Oh,
but
that's smart.
Yeah. Yes. So, and it's been easier for me in the morning when I need to do my stretches with my yoga. Yes, yoga I did. In my early year with physical therapy, they try to do they hook you up to a little machine that's supposed to stimulate your muscles with those little shocks. And I still have that machine, but I found out that made my nerves rattle too much. So, yes, it made my muscles move more. But my nerves, oh, no. Like, I was still shaking.
Yeah.
Did not like it. The shaking and the pain that I got from that. So I was like, no, we're not doing that. No, no.
Well, not,
and then they
not
wanted me to try the needle. Right. And then they wanted me to try the needle thing. They did that. And every needle that went in, I told them, okay, it feels like a sharp, like when I'm going to get a shot, and this, the medicine stings, that's what that felt like. Every single needle they put in me. I was like, nope,
yeah,
you're not doing that either. So those are the only ones that I've tried that did not work as well. But yoga, I do like yoga. I do like walking, that's what I'm saying. My mom gave me a smartwatch, and this has been great for me because I can keep up my steps. It's also helped me with my sleeping because it told me, like, things I didn't even know about, because my watch actually can record. If you do a 7-day cycle, it can record your, if you snore. I notice that different positions.
They can do that.
Yeah. Yep. I love it because I was able to educate myself about my sleeping and my cycles. And I've noticed if I don't go to bed by 9, I'm more restless than because I stayed up later versus not going to bed early enough and being getting that full rest. So I did notice symptoms because of having to watch. So instead of going to do the whole sleep apnea study and go to the hospital, and I wasn't ready for a machine. I'm still not ready for a machine.
Well, other than your watch, do you keep a symptom log or a journal?
Yeah.
Or,
so
yeah, you do.
I do. And I think it's Abby, A-B-Y.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's with Biogen. Biogen created this app that we can keep notes and everything. I used to be on Tecfidera, but my insurance didn't cover Tecfidera anymore, so I'm on Vimility. It's the one with the V, but it's still by Biogen, and that's been great. So I'm hoping my insurance won't cover it anymore, and then what am I supposed to do? But this app,
then you can talk
out
to your insurance.
Yeah,
you
exactly
can always talk to them.
A whole nother, right. But they have this app, helps us, and it takes us to Above MS, and you can get into a community, and you hear about stuff, you read about stuff, and they have, like, the MS education, some guides to help you prepare for your next appointment. It's been great. So I was keeping a log through that. And then it just transitioned to the MS.com website.
I'm with Biogen, too, because I'm on Lymtrada, and Lymtrada is made by Biogen. And, I think Biogen makes good products. Before that, I was on Tysabri, and I believe that they're made by Biogen, too. I like Biogen. I like the people that work for Biogen that I get to talk to every once in a while. Have you ever made a trigger or stressor journal as well? Like to know what your triggers are or to know what stresses you out?
I never really, like, when the Abby app, when they let you type it in, I was keeping a little notes like that. Like, that's how I realized about the heat and cold. What I can handle, what I can't handle. Some family members, too, I'm like, nope, I don't want to deal with you. Sorry, you're too negative. That's too much stress for me. Sorry, literally. And I do have somebody like that in my family, and I decided not to do anything with them anymore, and I don't go to family functions if I know they're going to be there because my mouth is going to go right off, and, my mom doesn't need to deal with that, so.
No, I understand. When there are toxic people around you, you don't need to deal with some of those toxic people. And that is good advice for everyone out there. If you know someone toxic, whether they're a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, whatever, you can tell them that you need to take care of yourself and your health and just make sure that you do that. You're number one person, okay? You don't need to take care of that person. You need to take care of yourself. So listen to Amanda and take
exactly.
care of yourself.
And that was the whole, it's self-care. It is absolutely self-care.
Yeah.
Because you don't
want
to be around those kind of people. So, and another thing I didn't get to mention, in the beginning of my diagnosis, I went ahead and got me a cat. So my neurologist made me an emotional support certificate that says, yes, this is what helps her through the difficult times. I mean, it lists a lot of stuff in it that helps me. I still have my cat. And then I added two more. But
now three cats help you.
Yeah, now I have three cats. So two of them get along well. The other one's like, my first one, he's like, I don't have a thing to do that. I'll just be antisocial. It's cute.
Now what are your cats' names? What are your cats' names and what color are they? I want to know just because I'm interested in animals.
So here's my broad. So it's now since I have a wonderful, boyfriend and his girls, we also have two big dogs. That's in the picture. So the two big dogs, the oldest one is a Mastiff, English Mastiff. His name is Buddy.
Aww.
That's the big one. The other one, that's the lab mix, yellow one, he is a shell because he follows you everywhere.
I love lab.
He's his name.
I love big dogs and I love lab.
And then the three cats. So the first one, the color of him, did you ever see a Tweety Bird?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know the cat, Sylvester, in that always chasing Tweety
Bird? Yeah.
That's my first cat. That's my cat that helped me during that part. His name is Sylvester.
Sweetheart.
So he's the antisocial one. He hears me. He comes out
but
every
he's
time
with
he
you,
greets
right?
me. Yes. Yes, he's social with me. He will come out. He goes to, like, I go to the bathroom. He's right there. He'll come and see me. So the next cat, she's all black. We named her Stormy because we weren't expecting to keep another cat. She was found in my boyfriend's, he's a mechanic, and she was in a tire
well.
Was
she in his truck bed or his engine?
She what?
Where was she? Was she in his engine? Because sometimes they,
tire well. So inside of the tire, there's like an area that they still have to get into. That's where she was. And she was
it
6 weeks
warm.
Old. Yeah. So we just kept her and took care of her, and she's been great. She's a little baby. And she's all black, by the way. She's all black. And then the third cat, it's an orange tabby, and his name is Garfield, and he looks exactly like Garfield.
And he's a clown because he's an orange cat, and I know what orange cats are like.
He is a clown. You're absolutely right. He loves to play the most. He chases Stormy, the black cat, all the time.
Okay, so we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you about your faith, because you talk about it a little bit on your Facebook page. Do you think your faith helped you cope with your MS?
Yes. There has been, as looking back, I do believe there's been times that people are put into your life for a reason, and they were there at the right time, and I see that now. I would have not made it where I am without those people at that time. Now, some of them are not in my life now because my life has changed But that's okay. So they weren't meant to come with me to continue on with this journey.
So is there anything else you would like to talk about for the benefits of our listeners out there?
I mean, I don't know if anybody had any questions that you had access to. I don't know.
We do have someone who's been listening for quite a while, so let me answer this call and see if they want to ask any questions. Caller 503, do you have anything that you would like to say to us tonight? Caller 503, you're on Mess with MS.
Is that me?
Okay. That is you.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering what the name of the med is that you take.
Oh, Amanda, can you?
I take a lot of medicine. So I'll tell you my prescription one, because that is only three. I have a muscle relaxer that I take, and those are the moments that, those days that I had talked about on that when my body just wants to give up and my muscles are spazzing from it. So I have what's called it's a Roboxin, Roboxin. They do have brands that's not that brand. It's part of the Metho, MethoCarbamol family. That is my part of the muscle relaxant. And they do have the non-generic. I don't know what that one is. It might be methofar, but I'm on Roboxin. And then Vumerity is my MS med, which is V as in Victor, U-M-E-R-I-T-Y. I can actually say I've been on this med this past year. I just had my neurologist appointment this past week. I have had no new lesions in a full year. So
that's awesome.
This is awesome. So, yes. Tecfidera was the one I was on before, and I did get new lesions being on that one. So once my insurance wasn't paying for it, we switched to this anyway. We got my insurance to cover the new one. Amitriptyline, which is A-M-I-T-R-I-L-I-N. I am on 50 milligrams of tingliness due to being so active now. I was having problems waking up and being able to get up and get moving and doing my yoga and everything I do when I get up at 5 a.m. My tingliness was a lot stronger, so we had to up it. This is my first time in 2 years I've had to up it, so I'm praying that this will continue to work at least for 2 to 3 years, because there's some new medicine. They are in the testing phases as of we speak to help with the tingliness, is what my neurologist told me. So we may be hearing some new stuff in the next year, she said, that I will be a good candidate for because of the tingliness. All the other meds I take is supplements, which is my zinc. I take a zinc. I take a vitamin complete, which has everything in it. I take a calcium medicine. I have a couple more. They're in the other room. I take a B complex. The B complex is something that my gen doc and I did see a chiropractor both recommended to help with our immune system. I do take a B12, and there's one other B, I can't remember what it is. But I can tell you.
Me too, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. I take a lot of supplements. I've been doing this since 2015, and I've also to tell you I've never had the COVID vaccine. I don't know if anybody believes in that or what. I didn't believe it. I didn't want to mix it with what I was doing in life and with my meds, which I have not once have tested positive for COVID. And I have tested a lot because I've been around a lot of people. So a lot of this is my immune system stuff. Those are my one-a-days. I think I'm going to the B12, the super vitamin, B-complex, D3. That was it. That's the bone and immune health. The D3 is a big one for the bone.
Yes.
And that's all my medicine.
Okay. Now, I need you to spell out that MS med that you're taking again.
Okay. V as in Victor. U as in uniform. M as in Mike. E as in Echo. R as in Romeo. I as in Igloo. T as in Tom. And Y as in Yo-Yo.
Perfect. I have been on Tecfidera forever. And I'm wondering if that would be a good one for me.
It
is
might
it
be.
Is it pill form?
It is still pill form, yes. My side effects, with Tecfidera, I always got that flushing. And that lasted like 30 minutes to an hour when I got so hot and headache and everything because of it. I really don't get that with Vumerity. And I also don't get the I had to take an Antoid or a Tumtum with Tecfidera. I don't have to do that with this one either.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So that is something you should talk to your doctor and see if you can get approved for it, because I really love this script. This has so far been the best for me.
That's awesome. Thank you for taking my questions.
Oh, of course, Mary. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mary and Amanda. Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
Down. Of course, the clock is ticking down to 5 till, and it's time for me to say goodbye to my guests and my listeners. Thank you all so much. Thank you, and have a pleasant evening until I see you on the next Mess with MS every second and fourth evening of the week.